You don't always learn history from reading books. Sharing stories is a way to pass on knowledge and experiences. Elderberries is an organization of older LGBTQ people in Halifax, and this week they invited young people to hear some of the stories of Nova Scotia's LGBTQ past. Dan McKay produced the event.
The Salon series is a once-a-year thing during Pride, and so it's an afternoon of storytelling around a table with good food and good drink. So one of the purposes of this event is to remind people that gay rights today are that way because we made them that way. We said things have to change and we're going to change them. You know, starting in the late 60s, even in Halifax, starting in the late 60s, people said things have to change. We have to change them. They're not going to change themselves. And I am certain that they would not have changed themselves. So the people in this room are the people who were there saying something needs to change.
That's Dan McKay, the organizer of the Elderberries event. Jane Kansas has been living in Halifax since 1993, and she says the Pride Parade was very different back then.
It's very difficult to explain this for people who weren't there. Our parade ended inside the club Rumors, which was in an old movie theater on Gottingen Street, 2112 Gottingen, which is where Global TV is now. At that time, it was a bar owned by the Gay and Lesbian Association. In that, any windows at the front on the street were painted black. There was no way to see in. When you went in, there were absolutely no windows, and everything, the walls, the ceilings, everything was painted black. A year or two after that, I became chair of the Pride Committee. And the first thing I did, it is really one of the things I'm most proudest of for my whole life, and that is that parade. When I first became chair of Pride, did not end in a dark, stinky bar. It ended down at the waterfront by the wave in the sunshine. When I first got involved, the Pride, it was marches, right? We were marching so that people didn't kill us, so that we were allowed to adopt, so that against homophobia and stupidity in all its forms. We were angry. We were marching, and we were kind of like, you know, we're here, we're queer, get used to it. Like, it was anger. A lot of anger. Not all anger, but a lot of anger. But then as the rainbow flag came in, it coincided with the march turning to a parade. As I look out at the people who are here today listening, I realize that people who are, I'm 65, people who are 20 or 25, 40 or 45 years younger than me, their experiences are really, really different. And so it's so easy to forget about history. And because I'm an old fart, I guess I'm in favor of old farts going on and on about the old days. Oh, we had to walk to school with shoeboxes on our feet or whatever. Like, because those stories will get lost and people will forget.
And that is Jane Kansas. And it was good to see you, Jane, at the Pride Parade on Saturday, still marching, still walking. Chris Fraser is a history professor at St. Effects University. Chris, who uses they, them pronouns, says they've been a queer activist their entire life, even before they were aware of it.
I mean, I came out in the first attempt at coming out was in the late 1970s when I was in high school. That was a disaster for me. So I tried it again in the 80s, and that was more successful, and I've been out as, in terms of sexual orientation ever since then. The issue of gender identity was much more difficult to get to, partly because the prevailing wisdom in the 1970s was that transsexuality is an extremely rare phenomenon, almost never happens, and now we know that, of course, that's not true. But the literature around it and people's understanding of it was made it very difficult because it was diagnosed as a mental illness, so you were treated as a sick person or as a pervert, and there was no language, nothing to describe for me what I was feeling or to explain it. I looked it up as a very curious, intellectually oriented teenager, and I found the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is produced by the American Psychiatric Association. It's their list of psychiatric conditions and how to treat them. And at that time, both homosexuality and transgenderism or gender dysphoria, to be more accurate, were both in the DSM. They were both considered to be mental illnesses until about 1977, actually. And it took me another almost 20 years for me to be able to come to terms with that and to understand it. And that was because there was a movement of transgendered people trying to raise awareness and creating the framework for understanding who you are, which includes a history. Like, we have a history. We actually have existed, right? So that told me right away that I'm not an aberration. I'm not a monster. I'm not, you know, I'm not sick. But I am oppressed. And so the question then became not about trying to come to terms with yourself, but to accept yourself and then find a space for yourself. And that was really the start of my political activism, was to do what I could to create a space that I could live in. Because even at this age, you would think, you know, you've talked it all out, and you never have. So to be able to sit down with my peers and to share stories, it is very affirming. And so for us, talking about what it meant to actually struggle, what seemed like an unwinnable battle, I would tell you that it seemed unwinnable, it provides a model of resistance for what might be happening next. And that's a lesson that's not just neat to know, it's a lesson in how to defend your rights now and in the future.
That's Chris Fraser. Halifax Pride goes until the end of this weekend. You can go to halifaxpride.com to see a full list of the remaining events.